Hello.
Hey, my brother.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good as well, yes. Yes.
Me too. Blessed and highly favored, right?
Like every day we
Yeah.
eat, every day we gotta put the Lord first. Yeah.
Yes.
How you been, Sister Wanda?
I've been great. Thanks for asking.
Welcome,
Yes.
welcome,
You?
welcome. I've been good too. This is our sister. Yeah, our ship. My longtime friend passed away Sunday.
My condolences.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
How is that for you?
Pretty shocking to say the least. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But this was the best one in the sleep though. Yeah. Best
Oh,
one
okay.
in. Best
That's
way in the sleep. Yeah.
a good thing, right?
Yeah. Best way to go is best way to sleep. You know what's going on. No. Yes. Best thing.
No
Yeah.
suffering, right?
No suffering at all.
Right.
It's peacefully go to heaven. Yep.
That's hallelujah.
Yes. Thank God for that.
Well, I pray for everybody that's affected by the loss of your loved one, and I pray your strength and theirs. I pray for peace for you guys. I pray that his death brings people to life. You
It
know, means
was a
that they,
baby, woman, a lady passed away. Yep.
yes, I pray that her death brings people to life, which is the word,
Yes.
and oh Yahshua, and that they run to him and not to alcohol and drugs, and that they look at him as the source and seek him as the source of everything that they need. And when they seek
Evening.
him, good evening.
Pastor. Yes. Good evening,
Evening.
everyone.
Good
Evening,
evening.
Pastor. God bless you. How are you?
We're doing great.
Good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Let me I'm logging in. I was running a little bit behind. Please forgive me.
It's okay,
Let
Pastor.
me
Yeah.
see who's here. And then we'll go from there. And all right, I'm joining in view mode only. Having eyes to see, let them see. Praise the
Yes.
Lord. Okay, and I am now joining. And then I'm going to find out who all these wonderful people are. Oh my God. Lord, have mercy.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I see Sister Miron.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hi, sir. How are
Yay.
you?
Oh, I'm so
Hi,
blessed. I don't know what
everybody.
to do. I think I'm getting Sister Marone. I'm getting
Oh,
ready to jump up out my seat, run out the door, dance in the street for a few minutes, and then come back and get back on. Y'all gonna have to hold on for a second while I go give God some praise. Hallelujah.
happy to
Hallelujah.
be here. Amen.
Yeah, it's good to hear your
Yeah.
voice. I see Sister Denise. God bless you.
Yes. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you.
Amen. And I've got Brother DeJuan and I have Sister
Yes,
Hawanda
yes, yes, yes.
currently. Let me go around the room and just
Amen.
find out how the week is going and what God is doing. And I'm going to start
Amen.
with Sister Denise. How's your week
Well,
going?
it's a blessed week. It's a blessed, insightful week, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for so many different things. So many different things. So.
We're holding on. We've got time.
Yeah,
Yes.
and my The way I pray is starting to change, you know, and
Ooh.
insight, you know, and being slow to speak and listening more. It's been,
Hallelujah.
You know, a change for me and to see things more in the spirit rather than the flesh. It's good, you know, at home, at work, out. You know,
seeing things more in the spirit instead of from the flesh.
Yes.
Can you share with us how that works?
What's that?
Can you share with us how that works?
Yes. So God may tell you to do something, may hear to do something, but it might not look like it's time. And it's important to find out when. He may give you a word for the future, right? And so when you're slow to speak and quiet, you'll know the timing, right? You'll know, okay, it's not time yet. And even in my anxiousness, you know, I know just what to do. I know just what to say. It might not be time, you know. And then, you know, I watched God where I wanted to go, you know, left. He said, go right. There's this girl here that really, really needs you, you know, and the timing wasn't right, you know, when I wanted to, and I was uncomfortable, right? I had this word in me ready to give her, and it was not yet, and so it's been about 2 months, and now it's time.
Hallelujah.
And I'm grateful for the wait, because, you know, doing things out of timing, out of season, it might not be good for people. You know, too late or too early could not be the right thing. And so God's timing is always perfect.
Wow. And so from the spiritual realm, you're saying you see more in the area of timing in a quiet space.
Yeah.
As opposed to a place filled with anxiety, because I think that's a grown-up thing to say in the kingdom, because though our Bible says be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication make your requests known unto God, I don't think he would have told us not to be anxious if we weren't going to be anxious. Does that make sense? I don't think he would have told us thou shalt not steal if he didn't know that we were going to be some stealing people every now and then, right? And so that's the grown-up version of the Bible, where there's some folks who actually believe, oh, no, I'll never be anxious because the Bible says don't be anxious. I just pray all the time. But sometimes you're anxious when you're praying.
Yes.
And don't even know it, because you think the prayer is supplementing the emotion, and it doesn't do that. That's powerful, Denise. Thank you for that. Sister Hawanda, how's your week going?
It's going great. It's going great. And just speaking up for myself in those situations. And if I could just elaborate a little bit more, my daughter started working a different schedule. So, you know, that's been falling on me to have my grandson. And it's like, how long is this going to happen? Because it's also interfering with the things in ways that I pour into myself, you know. Like even the Bible studies on Tuesdays at the juvenile detention center, I wasn't able to go because I had my grandson. And then even happened to, you know, tell her to find somebody for the event that's coming up on Thursdays because she works. It's like, yo, no, these are the things that, you know, in ways that I fill myself up spiritually. And however, I love to be there for you. However, there's some changes that needs to be made. So figuring out what that's going to look like, you know, because of course I want to be there for my daughter and my grandson. However, I do not want to compromise me and put myself on the back burner when I know that we have to pour into ourselves. So we not give it from an empty cup, you know.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
And then I just wanted to, I love what Sister Denise said, you know, because that resonated with my spirit, you know, what she just said that resonated so well about just operating in the spirit and what came up for me when she was speaking about that is, you know, just because we can, you know, be spiritually led or have that work. Is that word coming from our emotions, you know what I'm saying? Or from, and you, the way you described it and broke it down made it just sound so profound, because that's exactly what she was saying, you know? And it just hit my spirit so well. Like, yes, it really takes maturity to know when it's time, you know, and discipline too, because you might want to say something right now because you just got it and it's burning in your spirit, but you have to have that discipline to wait on Yah, you know, so that it lands on good ground, so that seed is sown on good ground. So I just love that.
Well said. Praise the Lord. Brother Dewan, thank you. Brother Dewan, yes. How's your week going?
It's going all right. I had some hardship. My friend for like 15 years passed away. Suddenly, Sunday. Yeah.
Your good friend of 10 years? Is that what you said?
15 years.
15 years.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a shock.
He's best way in the sleep.
Well, and how do you see that? I mean, how do you feel about that?
No words. No words to explain how I feel. Yeah. The soccer, because he was bubbly woman, happy all the time, laughing all the time, joking around all the time too. And I spoke to her Friday, when I got off the bus. We ride the same route together, Pastor. Yep. So yeah. I see her every now and then, when we ride the bus and stuff. And I was like, "How we can, Lakeisha?" And she was like, "I would want you too." I was like, "Oh, I will, yeah, yeah."
It takes. I'm sorry, Dewan. Go ahead.
From Sunday.
On Sunday. Yeah, it takes a minute to process. Loss. But I can give you one thing that I heard as you said it. When you said he passed away in his sleep, I heard mercy.
Oh, she is a woman, a pastor woman, yeah.
Yeah,
a lady.
I heard mercy, because there's a lot of people that pass away in pain, discomfort, anxiousness.
When they're paying it off,
Pastor. God is merciful enough to let someone pass in their sleep, I hear mercy.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yep. So thank you, Dewan, for sharing. Sister Marone, how's your week going?
It's going good. I'm happy to be here. And my sister just came to visit, so went to the zoo with all the family. So it was nice to see all the family. We haven't seen all of the family forever. And I can't complain. I'm doing good. I've been listening to the Bible study. You guys record for at nighttime. So I'm like, I've been listening to it for like the last couple months or so. I'm like, okay. So I feel like deeply in the spiritual wise, God told me like, hey, just go back to Bible study. So I'm thankful to be
right.
here.
You're just coming back to visit your family and go to the zoo together.
Yes.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Right?
Amen.
Sister Walker. Go ahead, Sister Marone. What has God been saying to you recently? Is he saying anything that specifically you want to share with the people of God? Is he doing anything unique and marvelous? I know you're getting married soon. Praise the Lord.
Me? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did get married and everything. all is well. Yeah, good news. We're expecting, actually. So it's God is definitely blessing me a lot with the things that I really desire. And I've been working on my relationship with God as well. But I noticed, like, I mean, like, the world we live in right now, it's definitely chaos, I would say. So I know that we cannot trust, for me, I can't trust all the governments or like all the authorities. So I feel like God is speaking to me like, hey, go back to the Bible, go back to the basic stuff so you can see clearly. So that's what I'm trying to go back to, just because it's in my opinion it's getting worse.
Oh, very much so. And you know, somebody said to me just today, yeah, I think the Lord is coming home soon. I said, I wish he'd have got here yesterday.
I'm okay like with it.
I'm okay with it. You know, anything that'll resolve and end this madness that we're looking at and people are actually calling life, it makes sense to me, right? So thank you, Sister Marone, for sharing. Congratulations on the marriage. Thought I was going to be invited, and so since I didn't get a chance to be at that wedding, I want you to be at church on Sunday so I can throw you under the bus. Praise the Lord. Tell all your brothers and sisters, I didn't even get to the, I didn't get to the wedding feast. It's going to be rough around here.
I will explain to you when I see you. Amen.
Yeah, please do it. And we'd love to see you. We love you. You're just an awesome young woman of God. Thank you so much for being here. Sister Angela Walker, God bless you. Okay, Sister Walker, you must have went back to cooking. Or you're on mute. Sister Walker, you there? Last call. All right, we're going on. Sister Tara.
How you doing?
We're blessed. How you doing?
Wait, hold on. Mom.
Yes.
Mama. Oh, my mom.
Yes.
Too.
Your mother is here.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
You want to introduce mom to everybody so that we can love on her and let her know that we love her with the love of Christ? So you
disinfect that. Dad, you didn't call on me, did you?
I did. You were cooking.
Oh, okay. I'm ready when you come back around to me.
All right. Go ahead, Tara. Okay. Introduce mom, please.
This is my mom, Dorothy Noble, and she's 16.
She's 16.
She's 16, but she's 87, and she's
all
a
right
woman
now.
Of Christ. She's a woman of Christ, and she wants to join Bible studies today.
Yeah, praise the Lord. And her name is Sister Dorsey, Mother Dorsey.
Yeah,
is that what you said?
Mother Dorsey.
Yep. Last name is Noble.
Yes, Noble.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen, Mother Noble. Thank you for being here. Can you say something
you.
So we can hear your lovely voice?
Yes, I've been planning on joining in the Bible study. Mm-hmm. It looks like the devil makes me forget every time, and it'd be over with when I think about it. But I'm gonna start joining in every Wednesday from now on.
Praise it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm applauding the Lord. Thank you, Father. What an awesome God you are. Yeah, and so, Sister Noble, Mother Noble. Tell us a little bit about you, your walk, your understanding of the Lord, and what would you share with the people of God if you had the opportunity to?
Well, I would say that I know I've been blessed because I don't know where you know it or not. I've been through so much, you know. I've lost 6 kids in a very short time, and I'm blessed that I'm holding up. Like I am, because I know if it wasn't for God, I would have been broke down, you know, but he kept me straight. I could hold my head up high and still enjoy life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Boy, that's a whole lot by itself. That is encouragement that if you have any wisdom, I would pull that out of what Mother Noble just said, because you know, most of us can't imagine losing a boyfriend, let alone 6 kids.
Amen.
Yeah.
Most of us can't imagine losing our job, let alone six kids.
That's right.
And still surviving it, and still having some joy, and still having a love for God. Because really, when you lose, if you lose your first one, you start turning against God. I know that happens. I've seen it. Yeah. I've been involved in it. Mm-hmm. And you start wondering what kind of what is this that God is doing? But how many of us know that God ain't always the one taking somebody's life?
Yeah,
that's right.
Because because there is an enemy who said, "I came to kill, to steal, and to destroy." And so oftenly we blame the loss of life on God, and we even have, unfortunately, some people in the pulpit who sit back and say God plucked them out of the garden at the age of 13. And in all reality, I'm pretty sure my Bible says that there's a certain amount of years that's accounted unto a man, and that is right around 80 years of life. If you didn't get the 80 years out, I'm thinking the enemy was involved. And it wasn't God.
She's 87, you all.
I'm 87, so I
And we're going to talk to you at 107, too, I hope.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
That's what my sister said. She said she want to go on until 120. I said, no, if I get in the 90s, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied if I don't make it to 90, Coach. Ain't nothing I can do about it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So thank you for sharing, Mother Noble. I see we have Brother Irby. Anthony?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm well. Yourself?
I'm so blessed. I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm looking at Sister Marone on here. Your mother-in-law is here. Brother?
Yes, happy,
you're
man.
Here. Praise the Lord.
We on fire.
Yes.
On fire in the name. Glory to God. I'm going to go around the room and talk to Sister Angela Walker. Sister Walker, how's your week?
It is so good. I started my new job up at Mercy Hospital, and
hallelujah,
everything's just fitting in, you know. And one thing I can say is that to anybody who is going through tests, trials, and tribulations, just hold on. Lean into God while you're going through, because when he gets ready to pull you out of it, there is blessings beyond your wildest dreams on
the
other side.
Wow. Amen.
Today I went to the grocery store and I saw this lady that saw me when I was in the grocery store and I was going through chemo. And she looked at me and she said, she was like, wow. She was like, you look real, real good. And I said, it's, all the glory goes to God. She was like, look at you. And I said, this is God, all God. So I give him all the praise and glory. Everything goes to him. So, so when you go through, just lean in, hold on to him, because you're going to come out on the other side.
Well, I think that's Bible study tonight. That was Bible study for tonight, everybody. We can go home now. Amen. We're in the book of Galatians. We're in the fifth chapter. And that's what we're going to read tonight. And then we're going to discuss and we're going to talk about what this means. The thing that I would ask you to do prayerfully is whenever you come to Bible study, for some of us that have been here, we've gone through the book of Romans, the book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, the book of Acts, because we try to get word in God's people. You need word in you. You need words. You got philosophy, but you need word. Philosophy is when I think a thing should go a certain way because I've learned it and I've acquired this knowledge and experience through life, and I create a philosophy from it. It becomes my tool bag, and my tool bag has thus far gotten me to where I am. But if you think about where you are and you check the tool bag, you'll recognize sometimes that the same tools that got you where you are the same tools that are preventing you from getting to where you want to go. And you have to go check the tool bag every so often and see, what is God telling me to throw out?
Yes.
Amen.
What tools don't I need anymore? As an example, and it will begin to read, as an example, because I want to set the foundation for what we're reading tonight. As an example, a young man goes into prison, God forbid, he goes into prison, he learns and develops certain tools in order to survive in that scenario. So when you look at him, he has this look in his eye like, if you touch me, I'll tear you apart. And so you kind of stay away from him. You know, he's quiet, but he may be one of the most talkative people in the world when he's outside. But in that environment, he's super quiet because he knows he may say the wrong thing and it could cost him his life in a prison. Now, let's take, time has passed, and that same young man in prison has now been released. When he comes out of the door of that prison, if he's not conscious about the tools he picked up, what will happen is that the same tools that kept him alive in prison in the world will send him right back to prison. Because that same look on his face that tells everybody don't mess with me when the police stops him and asks him for his license, that look is there, and the police sees prison on him, and the policeman begins to go deeper into the man's life than he should go, because there's no amenability. He's not friendly, he's not open, he's not transparent. He's guarded because he's been in prison. And so for most of us, we've been in one prison or another because of what Satan has done to us. And every now and then, you should check your tool bag. And you should ask yourself, are these tools working the way that they should? And because we pick up philosophy as we go through life, we pick up all kinds of thought and all kinds of reasoning capabilities. And we ask ourselves, we think that those things are the right things to have. And then we come into the kingdom and Jesus says, throw it all away.
Yes.
Unless you come to me as a little child, you shall in no way see the kingdom. Throw it all away and begin to put new tools into the tool bag of the new man and the new woman in Christ. We're in chapter 5. So we read the scriptures because we want you to have tools in the tool bag. Does that make sense? That's my purpose in bringing that up. If you don't have the right tools, the house won't get built right. One of the things that you have to know about this walk in God is this is a walk that requires work.
Yes.
It requires work. And it requires the kind of work that makes you a ruler of the land that God gave you. In the Old Testament, when he took the Hebrew Israelites out of Egypt, he took them into Canaan, and he gave them land. And he said, this is now the land for your lineage and your descendants. This is going to be your place. But that land was filled with trees and shrubs and things that you couldn't grow anything on until you cleared the land. You had to clear the land. And so sometimes we come in with trees and shrubs into the kingdom, and we're wondering why things are not working. When God is giving you a new land, now I got to clear the trees. I got to clear the shrubbery. I got to get rid of the things that interfere with what I'm trying to grow. And what I mean by that is, when God gave you a wife, he gave you land. If you don't clear the shrubbery, you won't be planting well. When God gave you children, he gave you land. And when he gave you the land, if you didn't clear the shrubbery, you'll be raising your kids like some of them crazy folks out there raise their kids, because you didn't clear the land. You didn't check the tool bag.
Can I add on to that part?
Yes, ma'am.
What I hear clear, because I can hear clearly what you're saying. I hear saved but not delivered. And then I also hear that, you know, we grew up, a lot of us grew up in survival mode, and we have already done the healing work, but we haven't let go of those tools that we no longer need because we're no longer in
survival mode. We're thriving now. So we have to unlearn. You know, you have to intentionally let go of those things. And if I could give an example, it's like one of my biggest fears was rats.
Mm.
And I intentionally, on my 39th birthday, went to the pet store. They wouldn't let me hold a rat, so I had to purchase it. So I purchased it in order to hold it, to face my fear. And then I end up having to take a test, like, you know, because I'm a peer support specialist and a parent peer support specialist. So I went into one of the community people's office to take a test, and guess what was there? A mice. It was in the one in one of these big buildings. A mice was in the building, and she had left me there on her. And here it was. I'm being put to the test instantly. Here it is. Like, let's see if you really face your fears. So the mice came out. I had to retell myself that I'm no longer afraid in order to sit there and take my test. And it was a state test. When you take those courses, those are state tests, and you have to score at a certain level in order to pass. You barely pass. But I do want to testify that I ended up staying to the course. But look, let me tell you the truth. My body reacted the old way after I faced my fear. So when I saw it, I jumped up on the chair. And I had to talk myself out of that thing. Like, no, I already faced my fears. That no longer has power over me. So let me, you know, but I had to be intentionally and tell my old self that was no longer my future. It no longer transpires into my future and who I am and who I'm becoming. So, but my body still reacted the old way. So I had to affirm my old self. Like, no, you ain't no scared. So I ended up taking my test, and I passed my test. I sat in the room with the mice. I wasn't looking under the chair while I'm taking the test. Couldn't focus, because when I say I really had a fear, I couldn't watch mice on TV. I'd be under the cover like a little kid, like you watching a... And that was just an example of how we have to be intentional to let go of the old man and those ways that no longer serve who we are or who we becoming.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well said. Yeah, praise the Lord. That was an interesting way to share. Check your tool bag. I love it.
Yes.
We're going to chapter 5 of Galatians. I'm going to read. Actually, I'm going to have someone else to read. Do we have a reader tonight?
I'll read.
Okay. And you're reading from the NIV. Is that what's happening?
Do you want me? Because you know I'm an NIV girl.
I prefer the King James.
Okay. I'll switch over for you, Dad.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So as she's getting the King James ready, again, we've read through several books because we need word in us. Because the word tells us what's missing in the tool bag. That's the simple part. The word will tell you what's missing in the tool bag or what you have in the tool bag that doesn't fit in God's kingdom's tool bags. And we do have to take some time, put in the work, right? And not be afraid to put in the work. It's okay. Because no matter how misdirected, no matter how misled we've been in our life and what we've been through, we are not monsters. We're people. Let me try that part again.
So you want Galatians what?
Galatians, the 5th chapter. We are not monsters. We're people, right? And that's important to take in, because when God made us, He gave us a brain. He gave us that brain to protect us. Just as Sister Hawanda was saying, that her brain picked up a fear, and that fear became a part of her thought process, and it was following her around in the kingdom, because as a human being, our first years of life are all spent on the concept of survival, trying to figure out what the world is that we're living in and what this really is, trying to figure out who am I, why am I even here? Because when you look at the chaos and the mess around you, you have to ask yourself, what in the world is this? How is it that some people can bomb people? and not feel any compunction, not feel sad, not feel normal. What happened to them? Who programmed their brain to think it's okay to bomb and kill 500 people and go home and have dinner and go to sleep?
Right.
Something happened in people's lives because we're people. And our brain will make whatever adjustment it needs to make to protect the humanity of us. And so...
Can I say... Oh, go ahead.
Of course. And so...
I wanted
so,
to say this.
So, go ahead.
Oh. I have been doing some studying because I have to do continuing education for my daycare, my business. And I've been listening to webcasts and podcasts, and they were talking about children and the way that they grow up, and then their brains are programmed for PTSD. And then when they grow up, they have PTSD and they have learning disabilities, or they have issues in their relationships, whether it's between mom and dad or sisters and brothers, friends, spouses, boyfriend, girlfriend, and all that other stuff. And it was real interesting to study through that and then really know how to be trauma informed. So it's trauma. A lot of people have trauma early on as babies. They also talked about you can inherit trauma just through genetics, and it gets really, really deep. And then all I could think about was how much science is, they won't admit to it, but science is really taking from the Word of God, because, you know, we have to renew our minds, you know, and all that other stuff, because our mind is everything. I think everything takes place in the mind
first.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Sister Angela, and I don't think we give enough credence to that, but that's what the Bible is talking about. Renewing the mind. Why? Because God knows it's been traumatized.
Yeah.
God knows we've been traumatized. God knows that we've been victims to Satan and satanic things and people who took money as more important than the human life that they were around. They took orders and didn't care anything about who they enacted the orders on. We get traumatized. And then God, through Jesus Christ, comes and starts to de-traumatizing to reprogram us in order to have a new tool bag that actually works the way
and
we
intended on
working. Glory to God. Right?
I wanted to say this, too. They did talk about poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 9 times out of 10, a lot of us grew up in poverty. Mm-hmm. And you said it, too, Dad. You said, we got to be careful of what we speak around our children. If we don't have money in our pocket, don't say that around the kids. Don't say, I ain't got no food for you. I ain't got no money and all that, because what it does, it makes the child fearful, because they think they don't have a roof over their head. They won't have food. They won't have this. They won't have that. They said poverty. They call it ACEs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of families now are being helped, because now they're recognizing that workers in around children need to get educated and get healed, and it's all reversible. They did say it's all reversible, that you can go get help so you're not living in PTSD, trauma, poverty, and all that other stuff. And I was like, that's all the Word of God. That's everything,
ma'am.
The Word of God. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. So good.
Oh, no worries. Thank you for sharing that. So we're going to open up in prayer. I'm going to ask Sister Denise, can you open us, please?
Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to study together your word. And we ask that it be written on the tables of our heart and stirred up in the time of need. And that as it is laid on the tables of our heart, that it begins to purge out everything that shouldn't be there, and our minds be renewed, and our hearts be open.
Yes.
Thank you just for the peace that you're giving through this Bible study and the togetherness, to know that we're not alone. And we lift up, you know, the people that are in pain, mentally and physically, and just pray just your healing mercies through and through. And that this word takes us beyond the weekend as we go throughout our day, throughout the week, and beyond, that your word continues to grow and to be shared spiritually and physically. Amen.
Yes. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the fifth chapter of Galatians, Sister Angela, would you begin to read read 1 through 6, and then we'll stop and we'll talk. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Steadfast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace.
Mm-mm.
For, keep going?
Mm-hmm. All the way to 6.
Okay. All the way to 6. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love.
Amen. Stop right there. Boy, that was a lot. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So let's talk about that. Can somebody share what they just heard and received, right? What you heard and what you received. I can go around the room, but I'm just going to say, jump out there. Okay, I better be more specific. I gotcha. Let me read it again, and I'm going to slow it down just a little bit. Here's what he said. Stand fast, be still, therefore, in the liberty, verse 1, wherewith Christ has now made you free. Don't get entangled again with the yoke of the bondage of it all. Behold, pay attention. That's what behold is. I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you've fallen from the concept of grace. For we through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is capital S. Everybody see that? If you've got a Bible, we through the capital S Spirit. And whenever you see that, that means the Holy Spirit. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith that works by love. Somebody share with me what they just heard from that. Thank you for joining. Whoever just joined, I can't see your name.
Nakobe.
Nakobe, God bless you, sister.
God bless.
I can go.
No, yeah, please do. Sister Nakobe, we're in Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians, the fifth chapter.
Oh,
we read verses 1 through 6. You don't feel good?
I just want to be on and listen.
Okay, very good. All right, go ahead, Sister Maron.
Yeah, so what I understand is Paul preaching to the people, saying, you know, back then, you know, if you're not circumcised, you're not God people. So Paul saying, like, they believe in the law more than they believe in God and the Holy Spirit. So he's saying that, like, we are free through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. So my understanding, he's saying, like, oh, by faith and by love, and then, of course, by the Holy Spirit, we are free. So it doesn't mean we have to follow the law of, like, circumcision or the law of, so we don't have to keep doing that for Christ to send us free. If we do it, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect if we are circumcised or not. But either way, Christ doesn't own us or, sorry.
Oh, you did well. Praise the Lord. Everybody heard what she said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so why is Paul discussing this with us? Anybody else want to jump in on this? Thank you, Marone. Anybody else?
Well,
what's the law? Why do you bring that up? You
said bondage.
Okay.
There's no bondage. There's no more bondage whatsoever.
Okay. So, So you're saying that Christ's death has destroyed bondage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's free and free indeed. It doesn't matter about circumcision, none of that. It just doesn't matter.
Okay. Well, why did circumcision matter in the first place?
Because they thought that they were holy people because they were circumcised.
Okay.
And they were following the Jewish law.
Okay. Where did that law come from?
Law of Moses.
Okay. Where did Moses get it? We're doing good.
Ten Commandments, yeah.
Where?
Ten Commandments, God.
Okay.
He was Jewish, wasn't he?
Moses?
Yeah, no, Moses wasn't Jewish.
Mm-hmm. No, Moses was Jewish.
Okay, so he got it from the Jewish law.
Okay, where did that law come from?
Religion, I think.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you. We're getting ready to find out.
I mean, that law came because when God's people went to when they traveled, they want to be set apart. So maybe God's making that law for him because we were before he sent the Holy Spirit and Jesus come to die for us. We need, like, for us to be able to connect with God or something, we need to follow the law. And once Jesus Christ came and died, then we don't have to follow the circumcision because Christ already died and then he died and then his blood sent us free. So we don't need to follow the not all the law, but like the law of circumcision and blood because Jesus Christ's blood is pure. So that's what it sent us free. That's what I understand.
Very good. Okay. So does anyone know about the law of circumcision?
So I guess they were, to be set apart from other people. And I guess it was God's chosen people or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So go to Genesis 17, everyone, please. So we can see it for ourselves. Praise the Lord. Genesis 17. Let me know when you get there.
What was it?
Because this will actually, Genesis, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 5, it should be. This will help us to understand our walk a little bit better. And why certain things are mentioned in the Bible. And they're consistently mentioning it. It's not like it pops up once or twice. It pops up in almost every other chapter. And you kind of go, okay, why did he bring that up again? What is this law thing? What does it mean? Why is he saying that the law is of no effect? And if you believe in circumcision, then you might as well go back and follow all the law, because Christ is no longer going to be your protector. That's what he means when he says Christ avails you nothing. He's saying Christ is no longer protecting you. The blood is not working. The blood is not working for you. Well, why say something like that to the people that are God's people? Genesis 17. Everybody ready?
Yes.
All right. Let's listen to what it says. It says, and when Abraham was 90 years old, verse 1, 90 years old and 90, he was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, pay attention to his name. It says Abram, A-B-R-A-M, not Abraham, A-B-R-H-A-M. See that? Abram, mm-hmm. A-B-R-A-M, not Abraham, A-B-R-H-A-M. And said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. And I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Verse 5. Neither shall that name any more be called Abram, but that name shall be called Abraham. For Abraham means a father of many nations, and Abraham mm-hmm. just meant father.
Hallelujah. Promotion.
And so he got promoted. Praise the Lord. And he says, look at verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God unto thee and them and thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. That's important for you. Please remember this, everybody. And I will give unto thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God, right? And then mm-hmm. verse 9, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. Therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations, this is the covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man's child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise, verse 11, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and you. Mm-hmm. So what is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about there were people who still believed that the covenant had something to do with being circumcised before God. And if you were circumcised, you had God's protection, and you could be up under the power of favor, the glory of grace, and all those wonderful blessings that's supposed to come to you are supposed to come to you because your covenant was done by way of the circumcision, which meant you believed in God. And then here's the second part, and that's why he says you have to keep the whole law, is that in the book of Deuteronomy, God gave Moses 613 laws that the people had to keep. Not just the Ten Commandments, but the laws. So the Ten Commandments mm-hmm. are called commandments. The 10 laws, I mean, the 613 laws are the laws of the Old Testament. So if you went and stole somebody's ox, or you accidentally killed somebody's ox, you had to restore two oxes for the one ox. Go ahead.
So the Jewish religion came from man, right? Between the covenant.
No, ma'am. It came directly from God, because God gave him these rules. So watch where I'm getting ready to go. Let me try to make sure I explain this clearly, and please be patient with me. So the purpose of the law, because you have to ask yourself, well, why give them law? So the purpose of the law was to bring people back into moral righteousness before a holy God. So every mm-hmm. law that God gave to Moses, and even back then, you could divorce a woman. That was a law. If you didn't like the way she cooked, get rid of her. If you didn't like the way, right? Get rid of her. You had laws that you had to keep when it came down to how you did sacrifice. You had laws of tithing. Every 3 years, you had to bring 10% of everything that you had reaped in that 3 years, and you had to give it to the Levitical priesthood. The Levitical priesthood are the children, sons, and descendants of Aaron, because he's the first priest that God made, Moses' brother, Aaron. And so everything went to the Levitical priesthood in tithing. So you did that every 3 years, which tells you that this is important. Please listen to me. Which tells you that today's church has got some stuff out of order, because people didn't tithe every week. They didn't bring 10%. And the word tithe means 10%, a tenth of. And so you don't bring they didn't bring a tenth of what they had every week to some congregational meeting and gathering and put in an offering in a plate.
Mm-hmm.
Are we listening?
Yes, sir.
Every 3 years you had a tithe, every year you had a tithe, and then every second year you had a tithe. One was a praise offering. One was you had to come to Yom Kippur, High Holy Days. You had the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You had to be there. You had Hanukkah that came from the eight candles, where the candles never burnt out when the people were attacking the Jews, because it was God's oil around them, and they ultimately won the battle because God's candles never went out. That's what Hanukkah is. That's what that whole thing, when you see the Jews with eight candles or a candlestick with eight holders, that's coming from Hanukkah. Everybody getting this so far? Praise the Lord. Tell me you're with me. So he just said to them, if you're going to become, going back to the book of Galatians, what Paul said, if you're going to try to walk in that old covenant mindset, then you might as well keep the whole old covenant mindset, because Christ is availing you nothing. So your whole life is built on you thinking you're going to get favor by your lawful religious walk.
Come on.
Get it.
By your lawfulness and your religious thinking. And so therefore, if you're going to be under the law, you might as well do the whole law, because doing part of something is not going to avail you anything in God. Why bring that up, though, and why put that here for us to read? Why did the Holy Ghost, because the Bible is breathed out as inspiration, the words are coming from the Holy Spirit through the men that God used in order to write the Bible, and the entirety of the Bible has been written over tens of thousands of years, not in 3 weeks, not in 3 months. It wasn't Paul starting with Genesis and wrote all the way over to Revelation. It was several different men that God gave different insights to at different times in the history of mankind to give us a complete compilation of God's thoughts and what he's been doing over the time of mankind. Everybody got that?
And none of it conflicts.
Amen.
None of it conflicts.
So Paul is articulating something not to the old believer, but to the new believer. And what he's saying, I want to read it again, and I want you to listen to it really carefully, please. Listen good. Stand fast in this new liberty, because Jesus has died for you. You don't owe God anything. Wait a minute. See, I'm free. In fact, we talked about this last week. Remember, Brother Irby? But too much freedom can kill you.
Right. Yeah.
Because you don't know what to do with all that freedom. I see, I'm free to do whatever I want to. I can do it when I want to. I can do it how I want to. And I can even do it to who I want to. But if I don't understand that my love for God has to be an act of turning freedom back over to God, that is what he's calling the Spirit. Ooh, let me try that again. When I begin to turn my freedom over to God and say, thy will and not my will be done, I'm now walking in the Spirit, because I'm not doing every thought that comes to my head. I'm not taking every action that comes in my heart. I'm not running at every fearful thought that I have of myself and people around me anymore, because that keeps me in the Old Testament and my life is a life of works, not a life of faith.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Did anybody hear that?
Amen. That's powerful.
So this is what Paul begins to articulate what this is when he says it. He says, so let me go to verse 2, and then I will open it for discussion. He says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, verse 2, that if you be into the law, circumcised, and you think that the way you behave is the key to this. See, because with the circumcision came behaviors. 613 laws that you had to follow. You better go get you a spotless and blemishless ram every time you mess up. You better go get
Jesus.
That's what he's trying to tell him. So you see, now when you mess up, you go right to the Lord and say, Father, forgive me, right? Because I didn't know what I was doing. I messed that up. But you taught me something from it, and I'm not going to do that again because I now see
it. I see it.
So now God has given us a tool bag vision so we can now check ourselves when we start wrecking ourselves. And so I now have the ability to see the wreckage, whereas while I'm in the law and I'm just living out of my feelings, my emotions, and what I think is right, my philosophy, then I don't have it. I can't see the tool bag. So I can be, I could go in and go to work at McDonald's and work there for the rest of my life and never see progress because I never see that working at McDonald's is not getting me anywhere because my tool bag is about, I got some money on Friday night to go buy a beer. I got some money on Saturday to go buy a fifth. And then on Sunday, I'm drunk. And on Monday, I get fired. Let me go get another McDonald's job. And so I don't see that I'm messing things up. I don't see the tool bag is working against me because I don't have the spirit. But when I submit my will to God, I want what you want. I don't care how good she looks. I don't care how many muscles he's got. I don't care that the car, everybody admires the car. I don't want it if you don't want me to have it because I can get that car and my ego blow up and I'm now back into the law because I'm back into myself now and I'm not in the spirit. It's not about his will. Now it's about my will. How often do I wash it? How much do I clean it? How do I look when I'm driving? Does anybody get this?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. So he says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you, verse 2, if you go be about the law, you might as well just be about the, in other words, if you go be about you, ain't no sense in you having Jesus.
Come on.
Yes.
If it's all about you, what's the point of Jesus? Might as well just stay in the circumcised mentality. And then verse 3 says, for I testify again, this ain't the first time I've told some folks. He's saying, I'm telling you again, to every man that's walking around with that mentality, that whole it's about me, the law, my philosophy, how I see life and the rules that I made for me and I'm keeping for me, thinking that that's going to get God to love me, you in debt to do everything in the law. Verse 4, Christ has become then of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by your own actions, that's the law, you've fallen from what grace is. For we through the Holy Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by what?
Faith.
By faith. By what?
Faith.
So watch what he just said. You can still be on drugs, but faith is going to get you out. You can still be a liar, but faith is going to get you out. You can still be broke, but faith is going to bring you some money. You can still feel hopelessness, but faith is going to bring you hope because your hope is in what Christ has done on the cross, not on who you can be as a person anymore. Mm. That's the spiritual realm. It ain't about, you know, we got that scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's for folks walking in the spirit. That ain't for folks walking in their flesh. And there's a lot of folks in their flesh quoting that, I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me, and you ain't done nothing yet. Mm. But tell a whole lot of folk you think you can do something. But when you move in the spirit, you connect up with your Father you connect up with the Holy Ghost in such a way that he's doing it. You're just following the instruction. That's why you can do all that.
Yeah.
Because so, anytime, go ahead.
I was going to say, so what I believe I'm hearing that the difference is when they're talking about circumcision and uncircumcision and law, the spirit wasn't present then. So that's like, if you're going to keep on going by those laws, that means you don't submit to the spirit. You don't want to accept Holy Spirit, because if you're going by those old laws, like you said, you got to keep on sacrificing, and all of that is still self, which the sacrifice won't be necessary, because you're not willing to surrender unto it, which by faith means that, like, goes back to the first verse where he says, therefore, in the liberty by Christ was made, we free from those laws now because of grace and what of Yahshua going to the cross. So now we can walk in the spirit. There's a choice now, because you can keep on going that old way, but that means you walking in your flesh, which no longer means that you're connected to Holy Spirit.
Correct.
Which is going to death, or which is going to lead you to death or hell, because that's put away with, because it's impossible to do. That's the whole reason why it was done. The ultimate sacrifice was impossible to do, to follow all those laws, and that's why we now under grace by faith, but we are led by Holy Spirit, so that we can stay free, because he said we free now, that's so that we can stay free.
Yes, and ma'am. Then, anybody else want to add to that?
Let me see. Wow, that was very well said.
I can say this. When people do have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it's going to change your life. There's like change. It cannot stay the same once you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And when you are in the Spirit and you're living in the Spirit, the Bible scriptures start to become illuminated, and it starts to be real to you. And so
hey, Jay.
You're walking by the Spirit, you know what I'm saying? Because the Holy Spirit is bringing stuff to your remembrance at the time when you need this scripture, boom. And he'll bring it to you. When you need this scripture for this, this stuff's going on, boom. And you'd be like, wow, now that's walking in the Spirit. Because a lot of people are like, how do I walk in the Spirit? And da-da-da-da-da. If you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit for real, you wouldn't ask that question. You would know straight off the bat what people were talking about. A lot of people in the body of Christ are not maturing in Christ. Because a lot of the stuff that the word is trying to get us to do is to mature us. It's to move us from one position to the next, because God's trying to get his whole body into unity, you know?
Amen.
And so a lot of we have these discussions and stuff like that, but you know, we need to get on a mature level. And the only way to do that is to have the Holy Spirit, to ask God for the Holy Spirit. And when you are sincere in your heart, because we cannot fool God. When you are sincere in your heart and you want that, you go to God, you ask God for the Holy Spirit, and he baptizes you with fire. Now, everything that this Bible is teaching, you're walking in.
Yeah, so that, thank you. Yep, go ahead. Someone else wanted to speak? Anybody? Okay, So thank you, Sister Angela, because the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman.
Yes.
He's a perfect gentleman.
Praise
he will
God.
Not overrule your free moral agency unless you give yourself to him.
Yes.
It's not when I become a really good person, I'll receive the Holy Ghost. Because the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost is to turn you into a good person, not to turn you into a good person. And so many people think if I just act a certain way, I get to walk and walk like, you know, like I really know God. No, you're just walking as a good religious statue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when the Holy Ghost comes, he brings on a life and death experience that you've never experienced before.
Ooh, baby.
He shows you not the hell around you, but he becomes to show you the hell you caused.
Come on.
Satisfied again. He doesn't show you the hell around you. You don't need any eyesight to see what you're going through. Mm-hmm. You need eyesight to see why you're going through it.
Yeah.
He comes to show you the why of the lie. He comes to show you what you can't see in the natural. He comes to give you insight as to why I drank, why I lie, why I run, why I'm not responsible, why I can't get up on time, why this happens to me, why do I have this algorithm like a computer that at every certain point, every 6 months, I'm getting put out the house. He comes to show you the why of life. And he brings it through almost a death experience, not a physical death, but a psychological and mental death where you can go back and look at the demon that's causing the problem and you can see it and go, oh my God, I've been walking in this mess so long as I didn't even know that this demon was here.
Come on. And you got so many folks that God be showing them, and they be like, ooh, that's Satan. Oh, the devil is a lie. The devil is lying, and they never pay attention to what God is trying to get to you, because everybody so want to be demon slayers and devil kick out. You know what I'm saying? They want to do all that, but they always think that it's always Satan. Oh, the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. No, it's God trying to get you to move. Let's move. Mm.
To check the tool bag.
Yeah.
Check the tool bag. Praise the Lord. Right? Let's keep reading, because we got quite a bit here. So we're going to go back over to verse 7 now. Right? Verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? In other words, you were doing a good job when you were coming to church. You were doing a good job and learning. And then something happened and you ended up going back to this old I'm in charge thing of my own life. Who did hinder you that you should now not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. God ain't doing that to us. God does not chase you in and out of church. Listen to me good. God does not get you to say you're going to do a thing and then don't do the thing. That's my temptation. That's some demon I done picked up and I ain't never looked at in the eye to know that he exists, because I never checked the tool bag. Anybody that keeps saying I will and they don't, you need to check a tool bag. Anybody that says I can and I can't, check the tool bag. Anyone that keeps saying, oh, I know the Lord, but then whenever I'm in trouble, I'm calling somebody because I need somebody else that knows the Lord to talk to me, check the tool and the bag, because something is not there. Or you didn't throw something away. Everybody got that? Watch what he says. Yeah. He says this persuasion, this issue that's there, didn't come from him that called you, God. He said it's coming from a little leaven, because a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. I still got something in my wait a minute. Did everybody get that? A little leaven. What is a little leaven?
Everybody
get that part?
Whole bunch.
Anybody understand what a little leaven is?
Yeah.
No.
Still some things with your character.
Okay.
Yes.
A little
seed. Some flaws inside you.
Right. So let me ask this question. Anybody ever heard of friendship bread?
Yeah.
No.
If you haven't, I'm going to explain to you. Say it again.
That bread that's braided.
No, ma'am. Let me tell you what friendship bread is. No, ma'am. Here's what friendship bread is. Friendship bread is when a whole lot of people get together and say, okay, I'm going to make something and send you something that I made so you can make something, and then you can send a person a piece. And what do they use? They use bread. Why do they use bread? Because bread has yeast in it. That's why the Bible always talks about unleavened bread. Don't put anything extra in what God gave you. Unleavened, right? Unleavened bread, you can't do this. But with regular bread like you buy in a grocery store, it's got yeast in it. So when you bake bread at home, right, you put yeast in that bread and you break it and it grows and it puffs up and it looks good, smells good, browns up. You can actually cut a piece of that bread and send it over to somebody else and they can stick it in the oven and put some more dough with it. It'll still turn into another loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And they can cut a piece and send it to somebody else and it'll turn it to another loaf of bread. Because a little leaven can regrow a whole thing that was there. From a piece of bread to a whole loaf of bread. Because the leaven is growing. And so Paul is trying to tell people a little bit of doing wrong will bring back all the old wrong. Mm-hmm. Anybody receive? You getting that?
Yeah.
Because every sin is just leaven. It's just something meant to blow you up so that your ego gets before your God. It's just leaven. So I talk about me and not about Jesus. So I talk about me and not about my family and how wonderful they are. So I talk about me and not about how great God has been because I got a job. I'm talking about how well I work on the job and they can't do it without me. And if I wasn't there, the place would fall apart because I'm a little leaven.
Amen.
And the whole lump is leavened. So Paul goes on to that. He says, hold on, brothers. He said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. You'll be humbled.
Mm-hmm.
But he that troubleth you shall end up being the one with the judgment, because Paul knew people were teaching them this mess. It was being brought to them. And sometimes your leaven ain't coming from you. It's coming from the folk you know. Anyway. Sometimes the leaven, the sin, the issue, the thing that keeps growing in me is not coming from me. It's coming from some folk. When I get around them, they pass me their friendship bread. They pass their issue right over to me. They talked about it until I acted on it. They brought it up until it brought me up. That's why God wants you to get away from people, places, and things, because some of us don't even know we've been leavened by other folks.
Mm-hmm.
That what they're dropping in your life is tearing up your life. Anyway, he goes on and says, I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. Verse 13, for brethren, you have been called unto a freedom. Just don't use the liberty as an occasion to do the wrong things in the flesh. But by love, serve one another. That's the first way you start killing leaven, is serving somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because leaven won't serve nobody else but itself, because it's pumped up, it's pompous, it's filled with itself. And so it can't serve nobody but itself.
Yeah.
It doesn't know how to say I'm sorry. It doesn't know how to say excuse me. It doesn't know how to ask if it's all right if I do something. It does it and then explains to people why I did it, and thinking that my explanation for why I did it is going to make you feel better. But in all reality, all it did was make you bitter, because you realized you have no humility to even come and say, is it okay if I do this today? Is it okay? And that's a funny thing, especially in our culture, if I may, not to offend us, but to encourage us and strengthen us. It's an amazing thing that we grow up with so little. You were talking about poverty. We grow up with so little. Everything we get it because we took it.
Yep. Come on.
And that's hanging out in my tool bag. The taker mentality is in my tool bag. And I ain't never searched the tool bag to realize I don't have to take nothing. Not if I got a God that's going to deliver me anything that he wants me to have. Yes. So I can now ask. I can now humble myself and say, do you mind? Is it okay? Or if I make a mistake, I can immediately say, that was my mistake. Forgive me.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Anybody listening?
Praise God.
I pray this is making some sense to you.
Yes,
right?
It is.
And so he goes on. Let me go on to 14. He said, don't just take the liberty that you have. Don't just take your freedom to do anything that you want to do so that your flesh is pleased. But by love, learn to use your liberty to serve somebody. That's the can I, should I? Is it okay? Hey, honey, would you like me to go grocery shopping and bring some food home tonight?
Yeah.
She may say no, but the fact that you asked.
Come on.
Now, I can tell you, if you came over to my house, the average man would go past us as henpecked could be. I know you think it. Because when my wife walks through the door, listen to me good, please. When my wife comes through the door, I'm saying, hey, honey, you need a massage. Because I know what she does out there. When my wife comes through the door, more often than not, there's flowers sitting on the cabinet. When my wife comes through the door, sometimes I'm cooking. And I don't cook.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
And I'm saying that because the loving is gone. I'm not henpecked. I'm Jesus pecked. I am Jesus pecked. And I know that this is the way the Lord would do it. And he would care for her, not the way he wanted to, but the way she needed him to.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense to anybody?
We're making all the
sense. Thank you.
And so it becomes imperative that we understand why the Spirit is necessary, because these things you cannot do without the Holy Ghost. Before I had the Holy Ghost, I don't care what she came in. You go cook or not, lady? I mean, I don't even care if you cook. I'm running to the store. I'm going to the restaurant. I ain't studying that. That was pre-Holy Ghost.
Right.
After the Holy Ghost, I began to realize all the mistakes I was making in the flesh. Because they're mistakes.
Can I share?
Go ahead.
I just want to do a spinoff of what Pastor is talking about. Before, when I first got married, I was having issues because somehow, some way along the line while I was growing up, and this I can contest this for a lot of women and some men. I had this perfect man in my mind. And I kept trying to make my husband into what I wanted him to be to me.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my husband argued and we fought, you know, we didn't fight each other, whatever. We just argued. We had to go to Pastor Moreau for marriage counseling once again. And Pastor told us that he was not going to be a referee for me or him. And if he ever had to be a referee, he would stop the counseling. We got kicked out by Pastor because we wanted him to take our sides and all that other stuff. And I went to God in prayer, and I was talking to God, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, you need to look at you. And when I heard that, I had to look at me, and it was me. It wasn't him. I was trying to rule and control this man. And he, by him being a man, he wasn't having it. He just wasn't having it. And so we would have the power struggle. And then I had to look at me. And so now the Holy Spirit has trained me how to love everything and the unlovable when it comes to my husband and my family and my friends and people, because God loves us regardless. And you cannot ever, you can't change nobody. It will never work.
Can I say what I was hearing when you were speaking, sis? Is it okay? Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
It's like we don't want to address ourselves because it be our trauma, you know? So we want them to, we want them to pacify our trauma versus looking inward and saying, hey, what is it in me that I need to go up? What is it that I need to change? So we, like you said, is like a Build-A-Bear. Let me make him change to so that I can keep on walking. You know what I'm saying? Protect my trauma, protect my bruises versus looking inward. It's like, no, but that's what marriage will do. It will mirror out those things. We be expecting it to be pretty, but no, when marriage is about being a mirror, it's gonna mirror out those things in places that you need to grow instead of and it's all not the other person's fault. It's for us to reflect inward versus out.
I want to say this too about Pastor Moreau's ministry and Evangelist Vandora. Their ministry is this: I don't care what you go through or whatever else, they're not going to hold anybody else accountable for it but you.
Yes,
it's all about you. You will not get a pity party. I'll never forget when Pastor Moreau one time, I had called him. I was in a bad marriage some years ago. Okay. And I tried and tried and tried to get Pastor Moreau to be on my side. And he was like, "You want a pity party, Angela? You want a pity party? Because I ain't coming. You will not invite me to your pity party because I ain't coming." I mean, but what he was doing was giving me tough love. But I thank and praise God. If I could pay him back for all of the training that he has given me in Evangelist Vandora's training, I would.
I know.
Because it's that powerful.
Yes, amen.
Praise the Lord.
I know Ms. Noble about to pop.
Amen.
Say that again, Sister Tara. What's about to pop?
I know my mom want to say something so bad because she's a reverend.
Come on, mother. Talk to us.
But I'm going to wait next time, and then I'm going to be ready for y'all.
Come on now. Yeah, get some boxing gloves out. Let's go and get God some glory.
Yeah.
Praise God. All right.
So I'm going to keep going. We're good so far, right? Because we got just a little bit more. Because I want you to see the transitioning part of this. Because it transitions, right? So verse 13 is what we left off for. Brethren, that's all of us. You have been called into a liberty, only do not use this liberty for an occasion to your flesh. But by love, learn to serve one another, for all the law is going to be fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, my wife is my neighbor. Amen. That's why I can do what I do. Her kids, and I don't have to be the one that fathered them. Listen to me good. I don't have to be the one that fathered those kids. They're in my house. They're my neighbor. They're my children. They're not. They're gonna get treated like I made them, even if I didn't make them. And I don't care who the father or the granddaddy is, because ain't none of y'all paying the bill. I'm over here paying the bill.
Amen.
And I ain't had to send my sons one time to their biologics to say, "Can you help us?" Because they get all the help they need right here. Glory to God. Amen. And it's wise help. Ain't nobody running around enabling and mamby-pambying and ookie-wookie-pookie in them. I'm going to sit down and tell them, "No, you're going to invest some money. This is how you're going to do that. This is how this gets broken. This is how you break that." So Paul is saying that everything is fulfilled in thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15, but if you bite, but if you're still biting and devouring one another,
where? Come on.
Take heed, because you become consumed of one another. What in the world did he just say? If you bite one another, you become consumed by one another. Do you know how bad it is?
What people do to you.
Yeah, that's all you think about is what they did and what they did the last time, so forth. You know how bad it is for somebody to get in their car, go to work for 8 hours, know that they're off work, and go home and got to sit in the driveway because you can't go in the house?
Terrible.
Or to have to go over your, wait a minute, let's take it deeper. Or to have to go over to your in-laws' house and know I'm going to sit on the couch and ain't going to say a word because I can't get along with none of them. You done bit each other and you done devoured each other.
Amen.
Oh, I don't like your brother. He always got something to say. You're biting. Quit biting and start loving. Hey man, amen. can I do anything for you? I can't. All right. You just said some things that those weren't cool, but now I'm mature enough because I know what my liberty is like. I can say, brother, I didn't appreciate that. If we got to talk like that, let's just not talk for a while.
Amen.
Yeah. See, because now I'm a grown up. You can't mess with me now because I know how to express myself. I know how to be, I know how to disagree without being disagreeable now. I know how to tell you no without making you feel like you at fault for my no. It ain't your fault. Mm-hmm. I just said no. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody listening?
Yeah.
Because that's what the gift of the Holy Spirit is for. Watch where he goes. Here we go. And then he says this, verse 16. I'm going to read through it fast. He says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust that's in the flesh anymore. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. It fights with it. And the Spirit fights against it. You know how you sit back sometimes and you kind of going, I should do this. I know that's right, but I can't stand them people. I ain't doing that. I ain't doing nothing for them. That's your spirit fighting against your flesh. That is the spirit and the flesh fighting. The emotion that says I could care less and the spirit that's saying you ought to care more. Those two things. I could care less. No, you ought to care more. No, I could care less. No, you ought to care more. No, I could care less. They don't deserve my love. No, you need to love them in spite of the fact because God loves you not because of who you are, but in spite of what you've been. He still loves you. So you need to love more. Quit fighting with everything. Everything is not a battle. Praise the Lord. And then he goes on, he says, but if you led of the Spirit, you're not under any law. Verse 18. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're made visible because they come out as these things. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness. That's sexual immorality. Idolatry, and even witchcraft. Real quick touch on witchcraft. Witchcraft is trying to get people to do something that they would not naturally do. Witchcraft ain't running around with some cauldron and a big knot on somebody's nose and a big old pointed hat going, you know, herbals and bubbles and turbles. No, witchcraft is anytime I'm trying to trick you into doing something that if you knew the truth, you wouldn't do. That's witchcraft.
A control post. Yes.
I'm going to go in here and ask for $5, but I ain't going to tell them I just blew my last $100. I'm going to go in and tell them I ain't got no gas. I got a whole tank of gas. I need the $5 to go get high. See, that's witchcraft. That's the flesh doing that. And God is saying, no, this is what I'm trying to show you. I'm not trying to blame you. I'm not trying to send you to hell for these things. I'm trying to make you aware that this demonic force is around, and this is how you'll see it. You'll see it through the manifestation of adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, can't get along with nobody, emulation, trying to act like somebody I'm really not, emulation, wrath, I'm always at strife. I'm just arguing all the time. Seditions, I'm turning against God. Heresies, I'm making up stuff about God. Envying people, murdering people, drunkenness, revelings, and such things. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm. But the fruit, ooh, here it comes, the transition. Mm. But the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Come on.
It's joy. It's peace. It's learning how to deal with long suffering. It's gentleness. It's goodness. It's believing by faith. It's meekness. It's temperance. And against those things, there is nothing that will prevail. No law. There's no product. There's no demon, there's no devil, there's no witchcraft. I remember seeing a movie a long time ago called You Can't Cheat an Honest Man. It was by a guy named W.C. Fields, and he was a salesperson, and he was going into a store on his way to buy a TV. On his way in to buy the TV, there was somebody standing in front of the TV store trying to sell him a hot TV. And the person that was selling him a hot TV said, why go in there and pay the whole full price? This is brand new. In fact, this is one of their TVs because I stole it. And he refused to buy it because he knew that once he bought that, There was no warranty. There was no guarantee. Whatever he got, he got. See, when we understand that God has a warranty, a guarantee, and whatever you get is what he's got for you, then you'll start living as an honest person, because you'll understand you can't cheat an honest man. Oh, glory to God. You can't cheat me if I ain't out to beat something or try to get away with something, or I'm not taking shortcuts anymore. I'm not cutting corners. I'm not sweeping it under the rug. I'm putting it right out there for everybody to see. This is who I am, but I'm striving to be the best that I can be. Until I can get to that place, I don't have to hide me anymore.
Come on.
Praise God.
Yes.
So when my transition begins to take place, and the meekness and the gentleness can be there, and I don't have to hide me anymore. See, because most people, when they're arguing, they're hiding something. When they're in strife, they're hiding something. So, when you can't get along with nobody, it's because you're hiding something that you don't want to show to anybody. It's hiding.
Yeah.
It could be my pride, but I'm still hiding it because I don't want you to know that I don't have that money. I don't want you to know this. When in all reality, Paul just said, you're free now. But just don't take your liberty in vain. I can tell anybody, if the bill collector calls, hey, brother, I don't have that right now, but if you give me a week, I'm going to send you every dollar I got in about a week, and then every week I'm going to send you $2 or $3 until I pay this thing off, because I don't have to hide from you anymore.
Right.
Oh, glory to God. I don't have to hide anymore.
Yeah.
And if I keep paying you by faith, God is going to show up with some money one day, and I'm going to be able to pay that thing off. My credit score get better. Anybody listening? My credit score get better. I won't be living in an apartment for 30 years. I'll be buying a house soon, because I understand now that this walk of the Spirit it improves my credit, it improves my standing, it improves my appearance in the community, it improves me, and it makes me someone that other people can respect, honor, and appreciate. Even people that didn't appreciate me for years will look at me and go, something's different about that brother, and I want to give him a chance. In fact, God might touch somebody that used to hate you and give favor to them, and they'll be the one that bless you because you changed.
Come on, hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
So
use the fruit of the Spirit, because it's love, it's joy. And I know nobody in their right mind. Anybody know the difference between joy and happiness?
I do.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it so everybody gets it. Please, share it.
Okay. So, happiness is an emotion that lasts for a few seconds, maybe an hour or two or whatever else, but it's not everlasting. Joy, you feel that, and it comes from God, and you appreciate it, and you know it's a blessing, and you feel the joy, and then you have gratitude that goes with it and everything else. I'd rather have joy than happiness. They can keep the happiness. I want joy.
Amen. I see you trying to speak, Sister Marone. You want to share on that? The difference between happiness and joy.
Yeah, very, very the same thing. Like joy is that joyful. Even things, when bad things happen to us, we can still be joyful because our joy comes from God. It doesn't come out of the circumstance, you know? Happiness is like, you're happy because, let's just say, somebody say hi to you, or you can be happy. Happiness come and go for sure, like worldly things. But joy is more like through the storm and through the hard time, no matter what, we're joyful because our joys come from God, not from the world.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Very well.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Joy. Everlasting joy.
Everlasting joy.
I've been happy. Anything that's going on in the world, if it doesn't affect you, it affects somebody. But I was having joyful for everything you get joyful. Little things, the big things, everything. Yeah.
Very good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dewan.
Amen.
So let me give you the shortcut. We're gonna come. when we come back next week, we're going to study the fruits of the Spirit. We're not going on to six. We're going to stay on five, but we're going to talk about each one of these fruits, because when you understand them and you manifest them, you're going to see changes take place that you never expected. You're going to find out that you have been way more than you thought you were, that Satan has been suppressing some things in your life because you never used the right tools. He kept you in the wrong tool bag. We're getting ready to get out of that tool bag and into God's kingdom tool bag.
Yes.
Here's a simple way to remember joy. Amen. Joy versus happiness. Happiness is an external stimulation that comes from something that happens on the outside of you.
Yes.
Joy is an inward manifestation that lets you know whatever you're going through, you're not by yourself anymore. God is there.
Yeah.
And it's and so you can be sick and still have joy. You can be broken, still have joy. You can be angry but still have joy.
Sure.
Because you know what to be angry at now. You ain't angry at the person. You're angry at what Satan's doing to a person. You know what to be angry with now. It's different. You can have no food on the table, be hungry, and still have joy, because the joy is coming from the fact that by faith I know a meal is coming. I don't see it, but I know it because I serve Jehovah Jireh, a God who provides. I know when the enemy comes in, I serve Jehovah Nisse. He shows up as a standard, and he'll fight my enemies and my battles for me. I know I serve Jehovah Shalom, a God of peace, that even when I'm being disturbed and things are going on around me, and the wife may have said some things I don't appreciate, there's a peace that can show up inside of me that only God can give me, and I can still sit there and smile even when it's my own family that's turned against me. That's Jehovah Shalom. And then I know that I'm not functioning out of my own righteousness, because he's Jehovah Sitkanu, which means he's the righteousness. So when I make a mistake, I don't beat myself up anymore. I now just repent and come to the one whose righteousness covers my unrighteous living. So I, oh God. So I.
Yes.
I stopped functioning out of me. Now I'm in the Spirit.
Come on, yes.
I stopped functioning out of me. I'm no longer based off of what I can do for myself. My life is now based off of what I know God is doing in me.
Yes.
Amen.
And that's faith. Praise the Lord. It is now 7:13. Closing thoughts, and we will close out in prayer. Closing thoughts. Let me go around the room. I'll start with Sister Denise. Closing thoughts, please.
I'm grateful for just so many things that came out. You know, just the prison of clean, I thought about my mind, you know, and someone mentioned, like, you know, poverty and trauma that we go through, and joy, you know, through it all, and being delivered and overcoming our fears. Just, it was so encouraging, so inspiring. I'm so grateful.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Denise. Awesome woman of God. Let's go. Oh, by the way, before I go to the next person, I'm going to give everybody assignment. How many people do we have? Do we have Denise? We have Marone. We have Angela. We have Dewan. We have Brother Irby. We have Sister Irby. And is mom still here? Is Mother Noble here? Is she close by?
No, she's at her own house.
Oh, okay. All right. So here's what I'm going to give you.
And
Sister Marone? Sister Marone?
Yes, sir.
I want to give you the spirit of love to talk about next week.
Amen.
Verse 22. The spirit of love, what is he talking about, and how to express agape? Agape love versus the emotional, oh, I'm so in love with you. Not that part.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay.
Brother Irby?
Yes.
I'm going to give you the spirit of long suffering. I want you to look it up.
Yeah. Long suffering.
I want you to long-suffering. You're going to look it up online, and you're going to ask questions of Google. What did God, what did they mean about long-suffering in the Bible? Sister Angela?
I got to work next Wednesday, then. 12-hour shift. I'm going to be up till 11 at night. I'll be
working Wednesday.
I know. Can you guys record it so I can hear it?
It is recorded every week, and it's on the website.
It's on the website? Okay. You guys, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I'll be working 12-hour shifts on Wednesday.
We'll miss.
Ooh.
Yeah,
but praise the Lord. You got that job. Glory to God. You were looking for it. You prayed for it, and God delivered it. So who's got the spirit of love real quick? Who did I give it to?
Me, Sir Mehron.
Sister Mehron. Yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the spirit of joy, I'm giving that to Sister Denise.
I'm sorry.
You got it?
What's that?
The spirit of joy.
I'm a little bit out of it. The spirit of joy.
So next week, yes, ma'am, when we come back next week, everyone is going to have one of the fruits of the spirit to explain, express, and articulate.
Oh, joy. Mm, okay.
Got it?
Yes, sir. I do.
Sister Tara?
Hey,
it may be long suffering. Sister Tara?
Hold on, Brother Monroe.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Sister Tara, I'm giving you the of the fruits of the Spirit in verse 22. I'm giving you gentleness.
Okay.
Is going to be what you're going to look up, and I want you to do some study on it.
Okay.
And I want you to explain it to us next week.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
Yes.
So we're explaining this. Is this are you explaining this into the reference of with personal experience or how it relates to your walk with God or just a,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Well, good question. Yeah, what is the definition of long suffering? Got it.
Yes.
How do you fit that into your tool bag? Remember, we were talking about tool bags.
Okay.
Do you already have it in your tool bag? And if you do, how are you using it? And if not, how are you going to use it?
Okay, gotcha.
Got it?
Yeah.
So Brother Irby has long suffering. Sister Tara has gentleness. Love is Sister Mehron. Right? I gave gentleness to, I'm sorry, Tara. Mm-hmm. All right, meekness. Brother DeJuan.
Okay.
You there?
I'm here, Pastor. Yep.
Yep. Brother DeJuan, you're going to have meekness.
Have a nice week, Pastor. Yeah.
She wasn't on that.
Got it?
Yes, what you going to give my mom, Pastor?
I'm going to give her temperance.
Temperance?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to give you temperance, Mom. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. From the fruits of the Spirit in verse 22 of chapter 5.
So you
Sister Hawanda, faith. Got it?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Did I miss anyone?
Nakobe.
Nakobe, I am going to give you... goodness.
Can I ask a favor from Sister, what's her name? You said Hawanda? Hawanda?
Mm-hmm.
Can you send me these notes, please?
Because
I didn't have to write anything down. I know you're the only one on here. I think they got my phone number.
Okay, yes. What are you, I wrote down what your word is. I'll text it to you as soon as we hang up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Everybody got it?
Yes.
Did I cover everyone?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And so next week you're going to come back and be able to explain what you found out about that particular fruit of the Spirit. How does it work? How do you know it when you see it? How do you know it if you're using it? Got it?
Give me all that
definition, what it is. How it works, is it in your tool bag or not? We started 2026 off saying we're in it to win it at New Covenant Church of Christ. Yeah, at some point, our minds have to be made up that we will not fail in God this time.
Yeah.
I will not fail God, and I'm not going to fail in God. I don't need to be perfect. But I need to make sure that my house is built on a solid foundation. And inside of the house, as we get ready to close, I need to make sure I understand how God's kingdom and his house is built. And in his house, the kitchen is not the biggest room. The bathroom's not the biggest room. The bedroom's not the biggest room. In God's house, the room for improvement is the biggest room. To just keep getting better. To keep getting better. And if we make the room for improvement, our new way of thinking, you'll start seeing the tools and you'll start seeing the tool bag, because the Holy Spirit will show up and say, you don't need that no more. Don't treat people like that. Oh, don't let them treat you like that either. Turn away from that. You ain't got to argue with them, but you need to walk away from that, because you can see that that's not love coming at you. That is an attack. But you got to be able to see it. And if you can see it, you can produce great fruit in your life, in your community, and in your church. You can produce great fruit. Everybody got it?
Yes.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Sister Hawanda, will you close us out in prayer, please?
Yes. Our Father, we thank you. We magnify you. We thank you for everything that's went forth. We thank you for the new people that's here. Hallelujah. We don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. As you send more and more, hallelujah, I pray that you allow us to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That people may feel safe here always. Hallelujah. That we can continue to grow and glean.
Jesus.
And learn from each other. Hallelujah. That people will feel safe to reach out. Hallelujah. And know that they are not alone in whatever situation or circumstance that they might be growing through. Because us as children of the kingdom, we are not going through anything. I pray right now that we activate that right now in our mind to know that all things are working together for our good. Hallelujah. So I thank you for giving us a new language in this season. Hallelujah. That we will not and no longer use our mouth to speak death or over any situation in our life or our brother or sisters, or not even against our enemy, that we will use our words to speak life, knowing that our words shape our world, hallelujah, and that our words, hallelujah, will go out to accomplish everything that we sent it out to do. We decree and declare on today that we got our mouth to speak life, hallelujah, and I decree
that we
live a life and that more abundantly, hallelujah. So I thank you that we adopt the things of the kingdom, hallelujah. And I speak over us that we shall live and not die on today. Hallelujah. We shall speak to a nation. Hallelujah. And things will begin that we will go into atmospheres and the atmospheres will begin to shift. Hallelujah. Because of the presence that we have allowed to live on inside of us, the presence of the Spirit, which is Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we will walk after the Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh in this season. Hallelujah. We you for your word, and we thank you that the word was planted as a seed, hallelujah, and that we will allow it to grow in our life, hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
That our light will shine, that our light will shine, because we know that the light from you will draw people, hallelujah. You said it, yes, we live, draw all men unto you. So we let us allow our spirit to draw men unto you, hallelujah, from a place of love, hallelujah.
Yes, and stay,
knowing that they can come in and be healed, delivered, and set free, hallelujah, that they can be nurtured, hallelujah, they will have that love, and that we will operate from the place of the fruit of the Spirit in this season. So I pray right now over the word and every word that you gave each and every one of us, hallelujah. I pray right now that we take it serious, hallelujah, that it just not be an assignment, that as he gave us the word by the Spirit, that we apply it to our life, that we know that we hallelujah, that we have to be a thing. So I decree and declare that we will be what we say in this season, hallelujah. We will be what we say in this season, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Receive your word, receive your direction, we receive your healing, we receive your joy, hallelujah, we receive your peace on today, hallelujah. If there be anyone that's sick amongst us, we speak healing, hallelujah, for you said when there are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst, and I decree and declare, hallelujah, that we will be the healed people that heal people in this season, hallelujah, that we're going to loose those things in the tool bag that no longer serve who we are or who we are, hallelujah, we will not be the hurt people that hurt people and carry the tools of hurt, hallelujah, let down, disappointment, hallelujah, we're going to be the people that heal people, hallelujah, so we hang on to your unchanging hand, and we submit to Holy Spirit, because we can't do none of these things without you, yeah, so we thank you for the ultimate sacrifice, hallelujah, and we just want to say that we don't take it for granted, so I speak life to our apostle. I speak life to our evangelist.
Thank you, Father.
As the first family, hallelujah. Knowing that the anointing flows from the head down, so I thank you for what you are doing, what you are about to do in their life, hallelujah. For I know, hallelujah, that our seeds will be always begin to be watered, hallelujah. That we may be in a place that we can grow and grow and grow, hallelujah. That we bust out of the seeds. I decree and declare that we are busting out of seems, hallelujah, with love, with the fruit of the Spirit, hallelujah, that everybody that we come in contact with may be affected, hallelujah, by the love of Yah, hallelujah, and that Holy Spirit, hallelujah, will impact their lives like never before, hallelujah, that they will come to the kingdom, hallelujah, that they will come running to you, hallelujah. So even we say a special prayer for Brother DeJuan, hallelujah.
Yes,
and the loss of his loved one and everybody that's affected, hallelujah, knowing that Holy Spirit is intentional, hallelujah. So I pray right now over his family and the people affected, that they will run, that they won't run to the things of the world for comfort, that they won't run to drugs and alcohol, that they won't run to hate and disappointment and let down, that they will run to love, the love that will cover a multitude of faults, that they will run to joy, hallelujah, that they will receive the peace, that they will receive the peace that only comes from you, hallelujah. So I thank you for what you are doing, even for them, that they will run to salvation, hallelujah, that they will run to salvation, that they will run to life, hallelujah, for we know that it's life in you, Yah, hallelujah, knowing that if they want to live, hallelujah, I pray that they choose life, and that
amen.
We thank you for everybody that's here. We even thank you for our sister Angela, hallelujah, that, and thank you for her new job that you have given her.
Yes, God.
So I pray that you use her while she's at work, hallelujah, knowing that the work will continue to be done, even though she's absent from our Bible study on some of her Wednesdays, hallelujah, that you will just begin to anoint all of our paths, hallelujah.
Yes, direct
the Spirit, hallelujah, that we will no longer walk after the flesh, that we will desire to walk in the Spirit. And I pray right now that everything that we eat will be sent to us, hallelujah, that everything
Jesus.
You said,
if we seek, we shall find.
If we knock, the door shall be open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Every open door. Hallelujah. We thank you for every open door. Hallelujah. And in this season, we thank you for every no. Hallelujah. For we will no longer no as rejection. We will look at no as protection.
Amen.
So we will use no boldly, hallelujah, so that we can walk in your ways and your statutes, no to the old ways and yes to the new, hallelujah. Thank you for yes in our belly in this season. We say yes to your will and yes to your way, not the things that we desire, hallelujah, but to the things that connects to you, hallelujah, so that we can allow you to build us up where no man can down, hallelujah. So we just say thank you and we love you, y'all. We magnify you and we lift you up and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise because it all belongs to you. Hallelujah. These things we ask and praise you for in Yahshua's mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah, I'm giving God some glory.
Can we say a prayer for Brother T?
I'm sorry, Angela. What did you say?
Can we say a little prayer for Brother T-Von? Has anybody heard from him?
No, haven't heard from him, but definitely we always keep him in prayer. But we'll just add him, whatever it is, yeah, that Brother T-Von is broken through. Hallelujah. We know that you are in the midst of. Hallelujah.
Yes, Master.
I pray, hallelujah, that we just touch and agree in this season with what he's already speaking over. Hallelujah. Well, he's already praying over himself, and I thank you that we will see the full manifestation of what you are doing and what you are about in his life. So I thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you. We thank you. Praise you because we know it's all working for us good. Hallelujah. We thank you for everything that you are pruning off. We thank you for everything that he is coming in contact with. So we pray that you just continue to anoint his mouth, his words and his life and the light that you have placed on the inside of him, that he won't be discouraged in any situation, that he will always be encouraged, knowing that you said you never leave him or forsake him, that you will be with him always, even until the very ends of time. So if he has become discouraged in any way, just remind him, renew him, strengthen him all over again. Hallelujah. Anoint him of hallelujah. That he may run and not be weary, that he may walk and not faint. Hallelujah. That the grace isn't given to the swift nor the strong, but to the one that endures to the end. So we just touch and agree with endurance in this season. Hallelujah. That you allow him to continue to grow through and grow through and grow through and do it for your glory. And we thank you and magnify you for doing it in Yahshua's mighty name.
Amen and amen.
Can I say something, Pastor Apostle?
Yeah. Say it again.
It's Nicobe. Can I say something?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
When I came on here, I wasn't in the mood because of how my stomach feels and stuff like that. Like, literally, I've been throwing up for like 2 days, 3 days. And it's from the weight loss shot. But anyway, the devil tried to keep me from getting on here. He already didn't allow me to get up and get my book, but I was fed without the book. And I just thank God that I pushed through to get on here and just even hear, because, Lord, thank you, Jesus, I feel so much better.
Hallelujah.
I feel so much better.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise thank y'all God. For the love. God bless you all.
Amen.
Also, and his wife uplifted, and she a part of evangelist. I just love her so much because she tell me, she said, be there, even if you late, get there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss it. And so because not just because of her, but just the love and the talks that she give me and things like that, like it just made me push through tonight, and I'm glad I came.
Amen.
Thank you. What an awesome testimony. Right? I love you all with the love of Christ. Sister Denise, Sister Marone, my heart is blessed. Please do your assignment because you'll have a lot to offer. We learn from one another on this Bible study. That's what makes it so impactful and potent and powerful. Because we learn from one another. Okay?
Love you.
Oh, thank you. Not,
thank you.
I'm just going to be working on.
Yeah, no, we understand, Sister Angela, you just got a brand new job. You better go on there and shine. That was part of her prayer for you. You'll be on the job, but you'll still be in the Bible study. Just carry the love of Christ wherever you go. Because sometimes going to work is Bible study.
Yeah, but I've been on Bible study for so long. It's going to be weird.
You'll be all right.
Okay, sneak in.
I'm going to sneak in and be like, I love you guys.
Yeah, sneak in.
There you go. There you go. As long as we hear your voice, we'll be fine. I love everybody with the love of Christ. And if you can't make it next week, Angela, don't forget, if you go to the website, you'll still be able to pull down the Bible study. It's on there. Okay? We did that specifically for the people so that they'd be able to go and get Bible studies and go back and listen. I love you all. Be blessed. Be the blessing. Be the blessing. All right? Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Love everybody too. Good night.